You may guess by the sermon title, Searching for the One, Listening for the Call, that this will be a word about the search process. Now that Will and his family are unloading the boxes in Louisiana, we have to face the fact that we will need to find somebody. Now, 500 years ago, during the Reformation, when there were great wars between Rome and the various kings, the Scots, always being an independent group, decided that they would call their own pastors. And so, though modified since that time, we have gone about seeking to discern God's will, not always the fastest way to find somebody, but the way that seems time-honored in our traditions. And a good parallel for the kind of search we take is found in today's scripture reading from 1 Samuel. You may want to follow along as I highlight those things which have comparisons in what we'll go through today. First off, there is the question, how long will you grieve? It was very touching this week to see that when we took the offering last week, a child of the congregation had asked for a visit from Dick Neely for pastoral reasons. He got the card from the ushers before the child left, and he approached her and the parents asking, is there really something I need to talk to you about? Yes, she said in that childlike way. I miss Will. I emailed Katie about that this week, and we exchanged the fact that we all miss each other. But they have gone on, and so must we. And the question is asked, how are we going to start? Well, Presbyterians put together a pastoral nominating committee, representative of the congregation, and they begin this long search, often frustratingly long, from a group of people defined by a computer search. The pastor fills out a form, and the church fills out a ministry information form. Now, in the old days, it was much harder because before there were computers, you had to go and visit, and this congregation has a disastrous history in doing that. Not that they didn't come home with good people, but the process of finding somebody was really tough. One group was going to East Tennessee to a small church, and the chairman of that three-person group said, we need to go in here and be inconspicuous. Well, it was small to begin with, and one of the members of the group was one of the Shaheens with that rich Middle Eastern complexion, and the other was Charlie Carmichael at 6'7". Being inconspicuous was hard. Hilliard Jolly tells the story about coming to a church and arriving late, uncertain about what door to enter, and entering the door near the pulpit. I remember a group who went to hear a pastor with great excitement and failed in advance to find out that the pastor was not preaching that day. And the worst of the experiences comes because of the mischievous of Jimmy Brown. Jimmy and another man and two women were on a trip out of town to hear somebody. They went on Saturday because of the length of the trip. And on the way up, Jimmy Brown, without cracking a smile and sitting behind the wheel, said, to save the church money, I decided we could get by on one room. I just got two double beds. I thought we could be all right sharing the bathroom. There apparently was total silence until a quivering female voice said from the back seat, if we agreed to pay for a room, would it be okay? I'm confident that we will follow the example of the last group and come home with another Will or somebody as able. Once the search begins, as it did in the day of the search by Samuel, we will look at a list of people just like he looked at the sons of Jesse, and we will go through them, as you might a resume for any job. And once exhausted, We'll either choose from them or pray as they did apparently last time with Will, is this all? Sometimes the answer to our prayers comes late, and sometimes we're surprised. David was out keeping the sheep while all his likelier brothers were there for Samuel's inspection. But when he's called in, David clearly is the one that God has an eye upon. We likewise might be surprised when our next pastor is called. Could be another man or a woman, young or old. God, as he has throughout the pages of Scripture, may surprise us. But when we have somebody, then just as happened with David, his or her growth and our growth will continue. David, interestingly enough, was anointed in the presence of his brothers, and when our new pastor comes, that person, she or he, will be among the sister brotherhood of Presbytery, and our district will approve our selection even as they help us along the way. So, we will do our searching, trying to call the next pastor, and while we're busy, somewhere out there, the next pastor is also considering a call. For a pastor, it's a little bit like it was seeing the children fish at the Hubbses last weekend. Somebody dips a hook with bait in the water, and you wait to see if there's a nibble. Preachers out there will be looking at our information form, which tells about our community and the makeup of our church, about our vision for tomorrow, about whether we have money enough in the bank to pay a salary, and whether we're otherwise healthy. They want to consider where they're going to go, because not only is it a big commitment for the minister, but the spouse may be working. If there are children, they'll want to know about our schools. It will be important for us to put our best face forward and to be honest about who we are and what our hopes are. In the same way, they'll be considering their strengths, which they'll communicate to us. By now, perhaps they'll have experience in the church, so they'll know those things that they are strongest with and those things that they need to be improved on. We'll look at that and decide whether this looks like something we ought to explore. All of those things will be part of a decision about whether we call somebody. Let me say that no choice we make will ever be perfect. They never are. David, when he was called long ago, was a man with flaws. But the Presbyterian system gives us plenty of time and plenty of help to find somebody who can accomplish what we need here. Now, when that person comes, it will be for us to make it work. My son tells this story. In a small liberal arts college, a student comes for his freshman year driving his mother's used Toyota, white with purple velour seats. Not exactly the babe magnet he had hoped for. But realizing that all four wheels were missing hubcaps, he goes to the local junkyard and says to the proprietor, "I need your help." The man walks around the car and says, "That'll be four hubcaps, I suppose." And the student, being tight on funds, says, "No, let me have two." The man is surprised and says, I noticed there are four missing. And the student says, "Well, yes, there are four missing, but here's my strategy. I'm going to put them on the date side." And perhaps by the time she realizes I'm missing two hubcaps, the relationship will be strong enough that really won't matter. When we get a new minister, he or she will come with considerable strengths. Maybe they'll come with walk on water, balance the budget, cast out demons kind of strengths that we read about. But it's also possible that even if they can walk across Lake Francis once every August and can balance the books, that demons give them trouble. That's the time when we need to step in and be supportive. Whatever their shortcomings, we have to work to make it a positive experience for all. And on the other hand, we will hope that person brings all those qualities that we see are needed in a minister. The scene is an NBA playoff game, a basketball game between the Portland Trail Blazers as the host team. A local competition has been run for someone to sing the national anthem, and Natalie Gilbert has been selected. There is, and you can picture this, a great flag held out across the floor, capacity crowd of 20,000 people filling the arena. All eyes turn to this little slip of a girl as she takes the microphone and begins to sing a cappella, "Oh Say Can You See by the Dawn's Early Light, What So Proudly We Hailed at the Starlights." She realizes that starlight is not right. She realizes it and stops singing. And when she stops, her mind goes blank. Too quickly, whistles and catcalls can be heard. She is desperate. She has never felt so alone. She takes the microphone and presses it against her forehead as if it can transmit the words to her. She looks to her side for somebody, for anybody to help her. We look away because we are embarrassed for her. Maurice Mo Cheeks was a star in the league before he became coach of the Trail Blazers. Out of sight of the camera, he steps toward her saying, "Come on now, come on now, the twilight last gleaming." He puts her arm around her and they begin a strained duet with the coach lining out the words as once song leaders did in the church. He saying, "Whose broad stripes and bright stars," and she, "Whose broad stripes and bright stars," and he, "Through the perilous fight," and she, "Through the perilous fight." And suddenly momentum begins to build. The camera pans the crowd and finds Tommy Heinsohn, coach of the other team, an old NBA banger, as Tommy begins to sing, and then the other coaches joining, and then the fans pick up the song, 100 first, and then 1,000, and then 2,000, and then Cheeks, with one arm around Natalie and the other encouraging and conducting the crowd, draws them all in, and the singing grows louder and louder, and they together, Natalie and Mo, lead them on, and they reach a crescendo in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And when they finish, there are cheers, unbelievable cheers and thunderous applause and hurrahs from every corner of that great space, because they have witnessed what could have been a disaster become a rescue and a recovery and finally a triumph. And it is everybody's triumph. And that is ministry, to take care of people, to go where the need is, to stand strong beside the weak, to remind them of the words of the word, to help each find their voice and invite the others to join in the effort. And then together, all together, to finish the song. For whenever such music is sung, it is surely an anthem to God. We may look for a David, somebody with regal bearing and a heart for the Psalms, but we surely want somebody who began life as a shepherd. We as a flock shall be waiting. And what shall we be doing while we wait? We together in individual ways and as a community shall be seeking first the kingdom of God. Let us stand as we sing.